Let's go ahead and get started. So, myself a minute here. Ooh. Wow. Okay. So let me, I got to take a minute to figure this out because that is very bright and this. Okay. You know what? Oh, you need me to use a mic to video, right? Okay. I don't have any choice on that. Okay. I'm going to make it work. I can't see any of you. Okay, and now even though I'm out of the light, all you all look like are these radiant stars. So that's a good thing. But maybe make sure to really wave if you have a question. So welcome to what is now the third part in the Career Decisions 101 Career Advancement Toolkit from the brought to you by the Office of Intramural Training and Education. I see many, many faces that I recognize and some that I don't. So for those of you I haven't met before, I look forward to meeting you as we do some of the activities and small group things. I'm Sharon Milgram. I'm the director of the OITE. And I am really pleased to see you here. I am 46, I think, years old and still set goals that are too ambitious, too depressing to even think about, and too big to even comprehend how to do it. I still sit with people in my lab and people in my staff in the OITE and try to set goals that feel attainable and reachable and doable. And I have really come to appreciate that it is really a skill. And it's a skill that's worth learning and a skill that's worth exploring. There's no doubt that if you have nowhere you're heading, right, it's hard to come to work every day and be motivated. If you don't have a sense of your goals, and if your goals aren't really in line with your values and who you are, it's really hard every day to put yourself together and have a valuable and useful set of interactions. So I really am impressed to see people here. When Caroline said this is the topic and isn't this a great idea, I thought it absolutely is, but I wonder if anyone is going to have the emotional intelligence enough to come and do this. So I'm really delighted. This is not going to be much of a lecture. It's going to be much more of a group interaction. For those people watching on video, if you're watching with somebody, it will be great to do these activities just like we're doing them in the room. If you're watching alone, I think you can still hopefully get a lot of value from things and from doing the activities yourself. There is also a need in goal setting to spend a lot of time inwardly focused on yourself. We're going to skip some of that today, I assume. In coming here and getting out of the lab and actually coming, you probably have in the back of your mind done some of that work, and there are some goals you probably already have started to think about. But I hope you'll take other time later to fill in the missing pieces, as we'll move through some of the activities quickly. This should be very interactive so that the videotape is of high quality and useful for people to watch either now or later. Please use a mic. If you choose to say something, for those of you sitting around the room, if you can just come up and grab the, there's some empty mics, we would really appreciate it. This should be pretty informal, so please stop me along the way with your comments and your questions. So the idea today is to come up with a general framework for setting goals. Because without that, we tend to set them and often never come back and look. And I think the proof positive of that, this is a great time of the year to have a workshop like this. So it's right around the time when many people set New Year's resolutions, right? So I am embarrassed to say that for the last 2 years, I've had the exact same New Year's resolution, and that was to learn Spanish. I think that living in this area and doing the work that I do and wanting to travel, you know, that would be a great thing. And each year I set that goal, and I still know next to no Spanish. And most people, in fact, in our country who set New Year's resolutions fail to actually 3 months later even remember what they said. All right. So we have a tendency to either ignore goal setting and just get into the routine of our jobs and our lives and our relationships, or to set goals but never come back to them and really make them work. So that's the idea, is to come up with a scientifically valid framework for doing that. This is a little awkward today, so hopefully I apologize for that, and I think we'll probably, it'll work out okay, but what I want to start with is, I'm curious, so most of you came for a reason, okay? So on this list of sort of the different types of goals where, you know, you might want to set goals professionally, either in the lab or out of the lab, educationally, relationship-wise, health and fitness-wise, how many of you look at this list and think, oh, there's goals in many of those areas I would like to set? How many of you came because there's a particular something that you really want to work on, sort of a more focused? Okay. So the nice thing about what we're going to talk about today and how we're going to break this down is you can use this same system for setting goals in just about any area. And although the system, it's called the SMART system, and it's one that you can find a lot of more literature on in, on the web and in a lot of books, the although you may not find every aspect of this system works for you, for every one of these areas, you're going to find it useful in general as a framework. So what are the types of goals that people here are thinking about wanting to set? Anybody want to throw out a goal that's been in the back of their mind or front of their mind? Go ahead. Just actually don't even need to raise your hand. Hit the button and talk.
I'll go with the obvious. I'd like to graduate from the graduate partnership program and get a job.
So there's a big goal, huh? Get a PhD and move on. But actually, I hear two goals there. Graduate and get a job. You know, very, very often one goal is linked to another, but those are probably need different strategies, right? So other kinds of goals?
Prepare myself for a career transition and make that transition.
So prepare for a career transition and successfully make the transition. Anything else? Anybody? You know, step up to the mic and hit the, or I'll repeat it for you, either way, whatever you're comfortable with.
To get an application ready.
Okay. To write a fellowship application. Okay. What else? Anybody? Anybody have any personal or relationship goals that they would like to be focused on? Anybody have any in fitness and health? Huh?
Of course.
I hope so, right? Okay, artistic, financial, community involvement, anything? Anybody think of any? What are some good examples?
Pay off credit cards and save money.
Pay off credit cards and save money? Yep, that's right. It's interesting how one big goal can trigger lots of littler goals to go along with it.
Yes, I am planning myself a graduation trip, and so that's going to require a lot of money.
Right, so figuring out a saving strategy, whether that be for a vacation or I'm saving for a Vitamix 5200. It's a story. If you ever want 5 minutes of entertainment, grab me. I'll tell you, it actually is totally drawing all of my energy right now. Some of you might be saving for college education, for even a little baby. Some of you might be saving for a new house, a move. But very, very often we have financial goals. Setting financial goals is complicated by the fact that we also have to sort those out very often with somebody or somebody's else that we're attached to. And in general, those tend to be ones that people really hate to think about setting. But hopefully, I mean, and if some of you want to work on that today, I mean, we're going to break up into groups and work on a variety of goals that people want to work on. So we heard some good examples, okay? So all of these are good goals, All right. I didn't hear, you know, well, actually, all goals are good goals if they're important to the person who sets them, right? But my guess is that the goals resonated with people in the audience. They're similar. Many of us are contemplating career transitions. Many of you are trying to graduate and move on. Some of you are trying to get into programs. So these are probably goals that sort of resonate with the group. So why is it so hard to set goals? Why does most goal setting fail? Anybody? So goals fail because they're not specific enough. And we heard some pretty general goals here, right? We heard some that were more specific, but they could probably all be even more specific than they were. So goals fail very often because they're not specific enough. What else?
People don't follow through on the goal that they set or go back and evaluate whether you attained that goal.
So often goal setting doesn't work because we never go back to it. It's sort of a wave of enthusiasm for setting the goal, and that's really what New Year's resolutions are. It's sort of a time, right? We all get sort of enthusiastic for this, and we set a goal, but we don't go back to it a month later and say, did we do anything, right? So that's another reason why they fail. Any other things you can think of in your own experience?
You might have doubt in your own goals.
You might actually have some internal doubts. You might also have some external doubters or barriers, right? So sometimes there are internal reasons why we don't achieve a goal, and sometimes there are external. Very, very good point. And in fact, one of the things we'll do is try to identify those barriers. What else? Anybody think of anything else?
Too many, too big.
Too few, too small, right? Probably both ways. All right, so goal setting fails for a lot of reasons. I think you actually hit on all of the major ones that I had thought about, except for one that I really, really want to stress in this audience, and that is that they matter to someone else and not to us. And there is an awful lot of that happens in the laboratory, okay, and that's because you work in a power, across a power differential. So you don't actually have the complete freedom to set your own goals because you are also trying to achieve someone else's goals. That also happens, the matter to someone else, not to us, happens because of educational pressures from our communities, from our families, from ourselves probably. And I wanted to bring that one up for two reasons. First, because for you in the positions that you are, I assume most people here, how many people are grad students? I see a fair number. Postdocs? Postbacs? Any postbacs here? Okay. I mean, you're really in a position where you do work at the downside of a power differential. Nonetheless, you have to make successful career moves. So you have to figure out ways to focus on goals that matter to you while you compromise and focus on goals that matter to your PI or your mentor or your other people in your lab. I also mention it in an audience like this because it is one of the single biggest lessons to learn as you supervise people and manage other people. So no matter how much I want to set the goals for the people in my lab, or the people in my office, they tend not to work very hard on ones that are simply my goals. So somehow we have to find some goals that really, really resonate with the individual. If you find some goals are externally imposed, you need to find one that is internally driven. Okay, or two or three, and maybe you have to realistically compromise on the timing. But I find that to be the single thing that discourages trainees when they come by my office to talk about things. It isn't that they don't have goals. I actually heard great goals here, and I saw lots of other people nodding. So some people who didn't speak up know their goal too, right, or their goals. It's that it's hard to achieve your own personal goals when you're trying to satisfy other people as well. So I really think that's worth thinking about. And it's one of the barriers that as you work in small groups to identify, I think it's useful to talk about a little bit. Okay? The other reason why we tend to fail that was sort of alluded to was the not coming back to it and looking at it. It's not only that. It's a general failure to set aside the time that it takes to achieve a goal. Okay? So there's a great sort of time management strategy out there, leadership strategy that says you should spend about 80% of your time really doing your work. And you should spend 10% of your time developing yourself, okay? And that time is easy to throw out, all right? Crunch time happens and you want to get a paper out. Who's going to spend a couple of hours, you know, doing an informational interview and exploring another job opportunity? Or going to a workshop that they could just, oh, I'll just watch it later, but later never happens. So we fail in general to set aside enough time to do this. Hey, Arjun. So interestingly, I told you 80% of the time is doing your work and 10% is professional development. Anybody know what the other 10% is? Anybody have any idea? The other 10% is time making it clear to the outside what you do and accomplish and bring to the table. Something which is an anathema to probably everyone sitting around this room. Scientists are trained to let their papers speak for themselves, let their data and lab meetings speak for themselves. And, but it's interesting and something to put in the back of your mind and think about. It's actually a topic I hope for a workshop that we'll do sometime in the spring or next summer, and that is self-advocacy and assertiveness and really being able to speak up for yourself. All right, so we want to set goals that are not vague, that are not imprecise. We want to set goals that matter to ourselves, okay? Even if we have to choose some goals that matter to other people, we should go into it understanding that and adjusting for that. We want to figure out ways not to get discouraged, and we want to find the time to put into it. As a general, thinking about goals you've recently tried to set or goals you're in the middle of trying to achieve, does any of this resonate? Any of it doesn't? Fit, what's general response sitting here listening to this? Unrealistic? Hard to do? Anything? Anybody want to say anything?
The 10% that you said of self-advocacy, that I've never heard that before. And
yeah.
It's hard to, it's just really hard to think of how you would do that or, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, and actually it's not the topic for today. Interesting that you bring that up. I do think that that is, in general, a very, very difficult thing. And I don't know, so I think about if you want to pick a 50-hour work week. I mean, that's essentially saying 5 hours a week you're walking around telling people what you do, which seems to me like really lost time. And that's not exactly what they mean, but they do mean, I think what they mean, and I have heard many discussions about this, are things like putting time into your written materials so that they very clearly reflect what you've done. Telling people about a positive experience. You go to a meeting. Well, I'll give you an example. I was away last week, and a postdoc in my lab gave a talk, and he's been putting a lot of energy into improving his speaking skills, right? And I came back. Well, first I expected an email, right? Like certainly a report, not because he needs to report to me, but because I know how much energy he's putting into this. So I now have heard from 3 people that it was the best talk he's ever given, and he has yet to tell me about it. Okay?
I guess now that you say more about it, I do realize that, like, I have a lot of things going on that I'm trying to transition and have goals and things like that. And I find that when I tell, like, my family or friends about it, I get motivated again. Even if I've forgotten about it for a while and then somebody says, how's it going? Then I tell them. So, I mean, in a way, I guess.
So, in a way, that's the same thing.
It does actually help.
Yep. So, remember also that reporting on one success breeds another. So, for someone in the room who might be considering a career in science writing, say, telling one person about a positive writing experience might lead to another opportunity to write. just conveying the enthusiasm for the fact that you had a summer intern and you really enjoyed it, and here was the success you experienced helping him overcome his inability to get his poster done, might drive someone to think of you the next time, right? So that's, in general, what they mean, okay? And those are the kinds of things I would encourage you to think about in that regard. Anybody in general back to goal setting? So how about if we break up into some smaller groups and get some discussion going then? So what I would like to do is come back to this list. Okay? How many people, so we had a couple of things thrown out there. How many people have a goal of focusing on graduating? So let's have that group of people grab the back over there, okay? Because it makes sense to talk about related goals. It may be a sub-goal related to that of do my dissertation or figure out whatever, but let's try to group people. How many people have a goal of working on fellowship applications or other written material? So let's get that group over there. How many people want to look into career transitions and new jobs? Let's get that. And that's big, so break up into probably some smaller groups, but why don't you collect over there? Anybody want to work on a relationship goal, whether it be in or out of work? Okay. Well, you'll do those at home later. Because I'm quite certain that everybody is always thinking, at least sometimes thinking about that. Fitness, health, anything? You want to focus on sort of professional things, I get, maybe? Okay, did I cover most everybody? Does anybody want to throw out a fourth group? Okay, so I resonated with everybody. There's something there for everybody? Great. Okay, break up into fairly small groups, but starting with those classifications. And we're going to give you some homework, okay, or group work. So let's first get in your group, introduce yourselves to each other, break up into smaller groups, and then Caroline and I will give you, or Simon, hey, Irene. Wonderful to see you.
Doing really well.
Terrific. Good. Well, okay, we'll catch up, but that's great to hear. So go ahead, you want start in your big group and introduce yourself, but then break up into groups of about three or four, okay? But one of the best things about these workshops is getting a little bit of chance to hear from each other. So we're going to take some time now, take your time. Everyone should introduce themselves to the group. And then just break, after you all introduce yourselves, break up into smaller groups of three or four people, okay? So now it really shouldn't be quiet. They're going to set some goals, and then you and I are going to do that. I was going to do yours first. It just seemed too quiet, and so I wanted to get it.
Thank you. think if he turns it off, I don't know if he loses.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
And it's, I mean, that if someone's watching, they can at least listen.
Organize my contacts. I want to tell you that Shantae said she's getting plenty of emails about the housing.
Oh, terrific.
So if they'd asked us a year and a half ago.
Okay, terrific.
You going to join a different group?
Yeah. So I heard you say that. I thought it would be
okay, perfect. Yes. So they're about done.
42. These guys are about done. They're still.
So in the smaller groups, if you've introduced yourselves, break up into smaller groups and maybe delve a little deeper and come up with three goals for each of you, okay? Actually, up to three. It doesn't need to be three. You really just need one, but typically once you get the conversation going. So as soon as you've all introduced yourselves, break up into groups, and everyone should set one goal, okay? If you're way past, that's terrific. You're the advanced group. So the career decision group, the big group in the back, that's great. Break up and go ahead and start some goals.
They're talking now.
There, people are just discussing a bowl. I think they haven't missed much. This group was the main goal, and had some writing goal. That's the career transition goal. So those are pretty broad, everything from exploring to getting a job, and those are mostly graduate students who are desperate to defend. So, are you a postdoc or graduate? Yeah, so probably either write. This one is writing. That one is career stuff. Okay? And just join one. You haven't missed anything. Okay? I'm glad you're here. Don't be sorry. Okay, everybody want to get at least one goal written down?
I heard lots of good discussion, but lots of people say they all seem so not very specific. So that's okay. Start with whatever you want. Non-specific is great. All right, does everybody have a goal written down? Or most everybody have a goal written down? I actually think I could just let you talk for the next hour and you'd all be happy, right? Right? Yeah. I mean, they're not even paying any attention. One goal is okay. All right. Okay. So humor me. And some people throw out their goal. Just yell them out. Don't worry about the microphones. I'll repeat them back for the tape. Some goals. Let's start with the desperate graduate students in the corner. Finish up a manuscript. What other goals? Write a dissertation. What are some other goals? Apply for fellowships, because you got to do that in the right timing to move on, right? What else? Study for MCATs. What else? Find a job. What else? Anything else over in this group?
Finish experiments.
Actually, my guess is part of that goal would be defining what I mean by finished. Defining what my mentor means by finished. Helping him redefine what he means by finished. Okay, what about over in this group in the back, the career exploration group? Some goals.
Better understand job opportunities outside the lab.
Learn about job opportunities outside the lab. What else? Find out requirements for a specific kind of job. What else? Anything else?
Network.
Learn about networking and network. Okay, what else?
Do some informational interviewing.
Set up and do some informational interviewing. Anything else? Okay, what about this group, the writing group up front? Any goals there? Set a timeline for
a manuscript.
What else? Anything else? Start writing a manuscript. Okay. What else? Anything else over here? Figure out why you're not wanting to write your manuscript. That's terrific. That shows some self-awareness. I imagine on the barriers sheet you put down me. Figuring out why, right? And figuring out how to deal with it. Terrific. What else? Any other goals anybody have to throw out there that I didn't mention? So what I want to do, and hopefully each of you has a goal down on paper, okay? And if not, as we move along throughout the exercise, hopefully you'll put one down. What I want to do is start with an introduction to how to take a goal. Most of these, some of them are somewhat defined, a particular career goal or a particular manuscript, but for the most part, they fall into some of these traps that we just identified. And what I'd like to do is use the SMART tracker goal handout that I gave you and some discussion about what SMART goals are to help with this. Okay, so we'll come back to the groups. You don't need to get up unless you want to. Sophia, and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, the other person, Mike. If you guys want, Caroline will pass you some handouts down. So Caroline is actually going to help us a little bit as we work through what is a mechanism that I sort of want to sell you on for doing setting goals. And I'll be completely honest and say, so I think lots of you know I do workshops in lots and lots of different areas of academic job search and going to graduate school and writing proposals. In general, I find them pretty easy, and it tends to be things that I've watched and seen and done a lot. In this case, when I was working on this, I have to say I sort of sheepishly acknowledged that in some areas I don't do a very good job of following these rules myself. So I took the goal that I told you about at the beginning, the learning Spanish one, and actually spent a little bit of time applying some of these, looking at these criteria for setting a goal, and actually modified my goal quite dramatically, and actually finally have a strategy. So I think this really works. So I'm sort of a recent convert a little bit. I mean, I've come to this many times in my career in different professional development activities. I always put it away and never come back to it. So we'll see what you think. We'll work on it sort of as a group. I would be anxious over time to hear back from you if you pull this out again, if you use it again. I think it's so a little bit organic here. You're all learning with me and trying it. But see what you think. In general, in creating a goal, you need to focus on these five things. A goal needs to be specific, okay? It needs to be measurable. So we are scientists, and in general, scientists love numbers. But if you notice, there were very, very few numbers thrown out, okay? So in general, goals should be measurable. We should have very, very concrete and definable numbers put on the goal. They should be achievable, which means identifying what the barriers are, identifying who you need, what you need to reach the goal, and then finding out whether those people or resources are available. Goals should be relevant. This comes back to one of the biggest reasons why goals fail, that they're not your goals, they're someone else's goals. They also need to be, although it may be relevant and important to you, it needs to be relevant within the context of the broader picture that you're living and working in at the moment. And finally, they need to be timely. And what I mean by that is you shouldn't set goals that don't have a deadline on them. It should be a realistic deadline. But in general, and that's why I think often we fail is, well, I could reach that any time, so no pressure. It strikes me every time someone in my lab says, I want to have a paper out this year, that really it means next year. And I think that's in part because we don't do a very good job of saying we want to have this paper submitted by X date. And here's what we need to do to make that happen. So if you think about this, just run through this SMART acronym. When you set your goals, you can go a long way towards hopefully being able to reach them. Depending on the goal, some of these are going to fit more than others, okay? So you might really focus on specific, measurable, and timely, okay? Very, very often that's, I think, what the places that we should put our biggest energy, all right? But in some of these, you might really put time into achievable because you're not reaching them because of specific barriers that you need to come face-to-face with, okay? So that's the system in general we're going to use. I'm going to run through each of these very, very quickly, and as we do it, I'm going to tell you that last year when Caroline and I did her performance evaluation, one of her goals was to prepare and deliver a workshop, okay? And Caroline still has about 5 months on that performance plan, so if you could all help her to turn that into a more achievable, specific focus goal, I think it would be useful. So what are some of the problems with Caroline's goal? What are some of the things you would need to know for her to actually move forward on that, that she would need to know, actually?
What kind of workshop?
What kind of workshop, okay? Needs to be a little more specific. What else?
The audience
type, right? Might be a whole lot easier to target the summer interns or high school students or students at a different level. Or maybe it needs to be postdocs, in which case you have to pick a different topic, right? So the audience,
the topic,
the format, right? What skills, until she knows the format, she doesn't know which skills she needs to be successful, okay? So as we move through, we'll come back to that again and again. But any other things that are missing in Caroline's goal?
When?
The timeliness element. Okay, I suppose by virtue of the fact that we have one of those meetings once a year, that we assumed it was within the year, but it's very poorly defined, and
can really lead to us sitting down again and putting that same goal on. So I'm not picking on her, but she agreed actually to do, I handed her the sheet and said, work on this, and that's the goal she said she really wanted to work on. So by specific, we mean what do you want exactly, okay? You need to ask details about the goal to clearly define the outcome you want. So learning Spanish, okay? Is that learning Spanish to become a Spanish teacher? Is that learning Spanish to live in a Spanish-speaking country, you know, permanently? Is that learning Spanish to be able to graciously talk to people on the bus and in the local stores? Okay, really, I want to learn some basic Spanish to be able to talk in the community I live in. Okay, that's a very different goal than learning Spanish to become a, you know, a confluent, perfect Spanish speaker. Okay, writing a paper, right? Learning how to write is a very different goal than finishing up a paper from my dissertation that I started a while back. Okay, writing the introductory chapter to my dissertation is a very different goal than write my dissertation. All right, and maybe the overall goal is write 5 chapters of a dissertation, an introduction, a methods, okay, but it's that level of specific. Okay, so thinking for a minute about Caroline's goal, you built in all the specific things. It should be deliver a workshop on X topic to Y audience. Okay, does that make sense? So now think about yours, your goals, and how you can make them more specific. We'll go through all of them, and then we'll apply all of these criteria at one time, because I think applying them in isolation doesn't work as well. Measurable. By measurable, we mean concrete criteria, actual numbers, target dates, specific events. Okay. One of the a staff scientist who is married to one of the people in my office did one, and his goal was to come up with a side project that he could work on independently. He runs a core facility in Genome. So one of his measurable outcomes was that he had data to present, preliminary data to present by March at a lab meeting. So rather than saying come up with my own project, which apparently is the topic of their discussion at dinner now for many weeks, he broke it down to I want preliminary data in this area, all right? Should be measurable. How many pieces of preliminary data? Okay. 5, 8. How many chapters? How many figures? How many workshops? All right. As measurable as you can make it. This is one where some goals are not measurable, can't easily have defined measurable things added to them, particularly relationship ones. Okay. I want to improve relationships with my mentor. You might be able to specify more. I want to meet on a weekly basis to talk, but it can be hard because meeting doesn't necessarily improve. All right, does that make sense? So sometimes you can apply a measure, and sometimes the measure won't directly correlate with success. It's operational, not necessarily outcome-driven. But you really, really want a measurable goal. And furthermore, and I think more important than the actual numbers, I think many of the goals we set don't have actual numbers, okay? They're, you know, much more fluid than that. If you can't put unmeasurable outcomes and ways to see where you're at, put in there along the way short-term or small measurements that you can make, okay? I want to do 6 informational interviews, okay? And I'm going to do 2 before January 15th. So that I can evaluate how well they went before I do others that are even more important, the people I've been waiting to talk to. Okay? So anything that you can do to make a goal measurable will help you in the long term. Achievable. Somebody mentioned when we talked about what makes them fail that very often they're too big and too high, and then I countered by saying, or too small. Okay? Each of you knows yourself, and hopefully over time you'll
work with other people on this, get to know each other. And there's sort of a right level of reach and easy for all of us. Some of us thrive on lots of very, very high goals and don't get discouraged by the long time it takes to reach them. Some of us do much, much better setting smaller goals and letting them add up. There is no right or wrong, but you really need to know for yourself so that you are setting achievable goals for yourself. All right? Does that make sense? And in addition, I think the most important thing about asking if a goal is achievable and working on that is these two things. Defining the resources you need, whether those be people resources, financial resources, equipment resources, okay, any kind of resources depending on the goal, and obstacles, whether it be yourself and your lack of motivation, whether it be your mentor and a disconnect between your goals and her goals, whether it be an obstacle that this is a very tight budget year and you can't do what you want, whether it be an obstacle that as much as you'd like to be flexible and move anywhere, your partner has a killer job in this area. Okay. Not every obstacle can be changed, right? Some of them you just have to get comfortable with. But identifying them really makes it much easier to set relevant goals. So I think the achievable one is one to put some energy and thought into, mostly to help you define the obstacles and the resources. Okay. Relevant to you and not to someone else, this will often require you to prioritize. So you might decide something is very, very relevant to you, but it's not the right time for it because another goal is much, much more relevant in the immediate. So when you think about relevant both to you and to your work situation and your life situation, it can help you a lot to prioritize. If you're working only on goals that are relevant to other people, and I find a surprising number of scientists feel frustrated by that, then it's time to really set some goals that are truly your own. It's very, very easy to satisfy goals for other people if you also feel that you're satisfying goals for yourself. And so I think it's really good to come back to the relevant question and make sure that you've put some time and energy into that. And I said earlier, and I just want to reiterate it again, because you will all be bosses in some time, okay, that it's really important to keep this in mind when you help other people set goals. Because if it's not relevant to them and it's highly relevant to you, you need to help them figure out why it's relevant, or else they're not going to put a tremendous amount of energy into it. And finally, the timely part. Okay, you need to put a time frame on goals. It doesn't matter if it's a two-year time frame if you break it up along the way, but you have to have some time frame. So there is very often when we talk with students about finishing or junior faculty about sort of moving along in the tenure ranks, they say, so we set these time frames and then they just get pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So it's almost silly at the outset to set them. Not true, all right, except that you might modify some of them. But I think if you set goals that have time measures on them, you will surprisingly start to meet some of them, and you'll push back the ones that are more appropriately pushed back. So you have to be somewhat easy on yourself. You're not going to meet every one of these goals in the time frame you set down, but if you put some times on there, you're likely to meet some of them. Okay, so let's think a little bit. Caroline made her goal a little more specific. She's going to say what kind of workshop and to what audience. Thinking about some of these other things, what else is missing in Caroline's goal?
Why it's relevant to her, where she wants to prepare a workshop.
Yeah, so really probably before going much further with audience or anything, it's what am I hoping to get out of this? Why am I doing it, right? Is it to well, why, Caroline?
Professionally, I need the experience. It's a challenge. It's not something that I've done before.
So big elements of Caroline's job are easy at this point, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because she's really good at what she does. So that, I think, is a really good point as to how come, why you picked that goal. So some of them are obvious. You're working in a lab and you want to write a paper. It doesn't necessarily take a huge amount of rocket science to answer the why. But some of them, particularly in that group in the back, I think that there's a lot of why that needs to go into setting career goals. Okay. Other things missing in Caroline's goal? Anything else? I think if we just put a time element on there, we would have a pretty good goal. All right. I want to develop a workshop on X for Y group. I'm going to give a lecture with some group discussion, and I'm going to deliver the workshop in the summer of 2009. That's a whole lot different than I'm going to do a workshop. Okay? So now what I would like is for everyone to try to use some of this and apply it to their goals. So get beyond sort of the superficial goal. You're looking at me in a really skeptical way. No? No? Comment? Nothing?
Not easy.
Not easy. You know, I would agree. Not easy at all. I actually think... Yeah, not easy enough that you're the brave people sitting here, okay? Not easy that the majority of us constantly feel like we're chasing 50 goals because we've never sat down and said, which ones are the biggest ones? What's imposed on me? What's for me? How am I going to break these down? I agree, not easy at all. I actually think the sheet I gave you, though, is pretty good. Like, I'm, you know, Caroline commented, and Lori said the same thing. For those of you who know Lori, she did one for me as well because I wanted to see some different responses, was this sheet is really helpful. So you may not come up every time with a perfectly smart goal, but at least you'll do some of this homework. The other thing, I think a reason why this is not very easy is in many ways it requires a level of self-reflection and a level of purposefulness in decisions that we're not used to making. All right, we get sort of wrapped up in science and it determines the next step and that determines the next step, and before we know it, we're here 4 years, whether it's in a PhD program or a postdoc program, and people are starting to say, where are you going to go? And you're starting to say, boy, I'd really like to be earning more money. I'd really like to be the boss, right? I'd really like to be back home, or I'd really like to be back near the mountains or whatever. And meanwhile, we've just, you know, a lot of time has passed. And so I think it's really hard. I would agree. And if you can set one goal like this and figure it out a little bit as a group and take it back and play with it some more, though, I think in the long term it will go a long way. The other thing is, in some ways, goal setting should never go in the absence of time management. I mean, quite frankly, there are some goals that don't require this level of work, right? They're not that important. They need to be done very quickly. They're time sensitive, and you just do it, right? But there are some that really require this. So it's not easy. So that would be, I would agree with that. Anybody else have any general comments in thinking about applying this approach to their goals? Go ahead, the person who started, and then go ahead. So the question was, sometimes you really need help in deciding the level that you need to reach to accomplish something, whether it be, am I ready to apply for jobs? Am I ready to publish a paper? Am I ready to start my own project? Should I supervise? Whatever the topic. And that is actually something that I also included in this package. So there's an element of setting goals that is that's for you, but there's an element of getting feedback and having a conversation about your goals with your mentors and your lab supervisor. And the other handout in there is an individual development plan, which some of the graduate students probably have because we worked on it a little bit at the graduate retreat this summer. I think if you have a lab supervisor who you feel is supportive and who will do this for you, that that is optimal. And in fact, each and every one of you has the right. It's spelled out in the training guidelines. And we hope that each and every one of you has a really positive, supportive relationship with your mentor and that you can get help with this. If you can't, you need to find other mentors. You need to develop relationships with other people in your training office, in your institute, in the OITE, in your branch, in the scientific community, back at your university. You really need to find a team of people who can support you in these kinds of things. Without a doubt, all of this goal setting, some of it like the career exploration goal setting, I feel like you could do that and you don't really need always a tremendous amount of engagement. It's nice if you have, right? But you can find resources much easier. Some goal setting that's particularly goal setting that's scientific related to fellowships and papers and projects really requires you to have good interactions. So maybe a goal of improving communication and is a good one to focus on. Does that answer your question a little bit? There was another question in the back or comment. So I think that there's each of you would express that very differently. And there's a general approach to problem solving, and we all have a preferred approach. If you're interested in exploring the way you tend to work and think and solve problems, sign up for a Myers-Briggs in our office and work with one of the career counselors on that. I think it'll be interesting within your small group to see. Some of you, your response might be, boy, those are awfully small sub-goals. I wouldn't break it up that way. I would do what works, okay? I don't tend to like very small sub-goals. I have come to appreciate them. There are people in the OITE that are meticulous in breaking down goals, and I've come to see some power in that. It doesn't suit me, so you're going to need to figure out what suits you. Any other comments or questions? So what I'd like you to do then is there are two slides here that I want you to factor in as you're doing this, but we're not going to talk about. And these are some questions that you can ask. The worksheet prompts them a little bit, but go back and forth and look at them. And then the next one are just some general rules. Some of them are sort of big global things, but two of them I really wanted to stress. And one is use motivating positive language. It is important to have goals that you reach in a positive way. So as you're talking about your goals, try to, as much as possible, phrase them that way. And then here's where you're doing something really important, sharing your goals with others. So you sort of alluded to that when you need your mentor. Even starting here and sharing your goals with somebody else in a similar situation is a tremendous beginning, okay? Some of you are going to decide the next step is you need to talk to your mentor about this. The paper's mapped out, right? You got to get buy-in. But the place to start is with someone supportive right here. So break up, stay in the same groups. You had a goal. You might want to refine it a little bit now. Use this worksheet, okay? It asks you a variety of questions. You might want to take some time to work individually. The front page uses the SMART criteria. The back page asks some of the questions you asked Caroline. Why is this goal important? The benefit of this goal will be, what are obstacles? What are solutions? So let's go ahead and put a little bit of time and energy into this sheet, maybe about 5 to 8 minutes working individually. Put some words down on paper, as silly as it all seems at the beginning, okay? I mean, you're here already. You might as well stay, right? And then talk about it a little bit and look and share, look and compare notes and share what you came up with. If you don't have one, we have more at the thing. Does anybody need a pen? Everyone's leaving.
I bet that the office has some pens. Does anybody else need a pen?
So for those of you busy writing away, that's a good sign. Finish up some thoughts. Some of you clearly are thinking more than writing. Some of you are writing. What I would suggest is reach a reasonable stopping point, even if you're only partway through. And you've gotten to know the people sitting right around you. You've been talking a little bit about your goals. Go ahead and look at some of the obstacles, some of the time frames, some of the ways you tried to refine your goal, make it more specific, and see where check in sort of with somebody else. One of the biggest benefits in all of this, I hope, is that you'll leave here maybe with somebody you might grab a cup of coffee with down the road and check in on these goals. So go ahead and talk a little bit about where you got to. Okay, obviously, this could take a lot longer, but rather than spending lots and lots of time writing, go ahead and start some talking.
Thank you.
Seems so much longer. Okay, groups. So, what are some general responses? People have different ways of setting goals, some more specific than others, surprised by what other people have said, barriers you hadn't thought about, anything Anybody want to make any observations about worthwhile, not realistic, might help? So the sort of big issue of how you take care of your home responsibilities, as easy as it is to set all these goals, being realistic about what resources you do or don't have, right? I think that those are all really, really good points, but ones that need to be dealt with, right? I mean, pointing them out like that is the first step to dealing with them in manageable ways so that you can move forward, because, you know, the clock is ticking and a postdoc is not a permanent job. And so you're right, absolutely. And in fact, maybe if the realization that comes out of this type of exercise for some of you is, I have to sort out how I'm going to manage all of this, and then to take some time and do that, I think is a great point. In fact, I'll skip ahead, and one big reminder point that I actually wanted to make for everybody is, as those kinds of issues and others come up, there are resources. There are resources in the community. There are resources here at NIH, and I think some of them get overlooked. Okay, so there are career counselors in the OITE, happy to talk with you. There are people in the employee assistance program that can provide information on all kinds of work-life balance situations, help you find things in the community. Your training office in your institute, your graduate program people. I mean, think broadly about your resources, because she's right. All those other things that compete for your time and attention are not necessarily going to go away because you have a beautiful plan, right? In fact, something will go wrong in your plan, and then you're going to have to replan, right? So maybe it should be goal setting and re-goal setting. But without a doubt, don't forget these resources. The thing that surprises me the most at NIH is how many resources there are that nobody knows about, or that people know about and don't take advantage of. So know what they are. If you are a postdoc and you don't have a postdoc handbook, drop us an email. We need to get you one. If you're a graduate student and you don't have a handbook, we need to get you one. They're also online. Your institutes have resources. The Employee Assistance Program is a great place to start. So use all of them. All right. Other things beside the sort of grim reality that life invades, what else? So actually, that was also brought up as I was walking around. So I start to look at this, and I have multiple really important goals. And I do think as you approach the end of grad school, as you approach the end of a postdoc, that is really true. That, you know, you have to wrap up your science. You have to write things up. You have to be at the same time networking, at the same time looking for jobs and putting together all your written materials. And, you know, family still invades, right? And lab work still is there. So you really do have multiple goals, and they could all look equal. Two things. The one is I would encourage you beyond this one sheet, and we will give you, there are other blank ones. You can email me and I can send you some more. I mean, you can photocopy. You can fill this out for each and every one, but eventually this has to be integrated in some way. And without a doubt, the best way to integrate goals and to think sort of strategically about your career and about your science is an individual development plan. This is a written plan. The one that I gave you is one that I developed over many years working both with graduate students and postdocs, and it is one that really pushes you to evaluate the last year as a way to plan the next year. So you'll see there's lots of questions of this year, what papers did you write, what meetings did you go to, how did it go? And then it says, so what are your goals going to be for next year? And a great way to put this all together is to spend some time writing some goals, spend some time on the IDP, and then talk about it with your mentor. Like I said before, if you are in a situation where you don't have a supportive mentor, find other people. You might also, depending on where you're at, try to change that situation. It's not the topic of this discussion today, so I'm going to say if you feel that you're not in a supportive environment, grab somebody, grab me afterward. But you can work on these individual goals, work on the IDP. Some questions you'll put an X through, they don't apply to you. There's questions about classes or teaching or grant writing and doesn't apply to you right now, skip right over it. But that will, working on that will help you integrate everything. And sometimes the obvious goal drops out. You know, it just becomes so obvious which one is now. Sometimes it's really obvious which two are now, and you figure out a way to juggle. But I think you have to go from these individual goals to that plan. I don't find having people, you really need a lot of time to fill one of these out, and I find talking about them very useful, but not the filling out together. So we're not going to spend a lot of time in the small groups talking about the IDP. What I would say is if you really want to try this, go ahead, put some energy into it. Now is the best time. I mean, one thing is, you know, in all of these priorities, timing is something. And there are better times and worse times to tackle things. And almost this is a pretty quiet time. There are many less competing seminars, many less competing things going on campus. Very few people go to meetings right around now. There's less science travel and stuff. This might be a great time to put some energy into it. Make an appointment with your mentor. If he or she doesn't give you what you need, make an appointment. Come talk about it with me. Go talk about it with a person in your branch that you really respect. Anyone. Find a good mentor. A good mentor will tell you, I'm not an expert in this part, but here's my general take on it. But mostly it's you doing the work and the talking anyway. So that's how to try to put it together. Okay. Other responses, what are some of the obstacles people came up with? No one had any? Certainly there were some. Time, yep.
Distractions.
So it can be hard to add more time. Very few of us have the ability to turn a 24-hour day into longer than that. If any of you have the ability, let me know, because we should really patent that. We would probably all we'd be able to stop working. So you can't control time, but you can control distractions, okay? And identifying what your distractions are is a great thing. So mine is online newspapers, and now I give myself a certain amount of time, right? But I don't go back to them, and I no longer does my homepage open to the New York Times. Infinite distraction, because you can link from one article to another article to another article. And where did my 2 hours go? So what are your distractions? You got to get rid of them. You also have to enjoy them just a little bit, right? There's a reason why we have them. All right, what other barriers?
Motivation.
I think that's a really hard one to deal with, and if you're not motivated, you know, simply filling out a form isn't likely to provide the motivation, but you really should start talking to someone or someones about why you're not motivated. There's often an underlying reason, and exploring those reasons can help.
Sometimes setting mini projects for yourself helps. Like if I finish this, then I get 5 minutes to sit here and close my eyes and do nothing.
If ever this was something, highlight it. Okay, almost everyone will find some positive motivator. Some of us also need some negative motivators. You might find another postdoc, a grad student, someone that you trust, and you might start meeting on a regular basis, and maybe you need an occasional kick in the pants, get someone to give it to you. I had a graduate student I used to joke that periodically he would pop his head in all the time to talk, and whenever he made an appointment with me, he wanted a kick in the pants. He was sort of unsure of where to go next and felt like he wasn't getting anything done, so he'd make his appointment for that. Because he always would just drop in and sit down except then, right? So if you are someone motivated occasionally by somebody saying, come on, you can do better, find somebody, okay? I find that is much better, a colleague or friend, than it is really often your boss. Although depending on your relationship, you might get it there. Can be a partner. Whenever I can't get motivated to finish work, if I call home and say I might work at night, that's my motivation for getting back focused. Because the silence on the phone when I say I'm sorry I'm going to work tonight is really chilling. It's amazing how much temperature can be conveyed by telephone. Right? So find your rewards, but also know yourself enough to know what else you need when you get really unmotivated. It's a walk for some of you. For some of you, it's sports. For some of you, it's really a positive reward. It's something for everyone. And for some of you, deep down, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you need to make changes. But I would venture a guess most of the lack of motivation is something much easier to solve. At least, I hope so. And if not, then you face it and fix it. So that's what using all these resources is about. Other things about resources, obstacles, timelines. Anybody set completely unrealistic timelines, the group completely laugh at you? Or was it helpful to put a time on it? Did it seem more real? Yeah? So I would pay attention to when you meet those times, okay, and break things down and put times on lots of the small steps in between. Other observations, comments, questions, things that you might try based on this, things that have that the group sort of pointed out? So I can't remember actually where I read this. When I fly, I read a lot of, I like to read Time, Newsweek, and things like that. And I recently read an article, one of those magazines, about what are defining characteristics of very, very successful individuals in their careers, successful work-wise. And one of the characteristics was that they actually set goals and paid attention to them. To the point that some people will laminate a card with some very big, big focus, long-term goals to remind themselves. Sometimes at the beginning of grad school, you know, when I talk to students starting, that's what I say. It's 5 years is a long road of not knowing where you're going, and sort of knowing a little bit what your big goals are can help. Whether you choose to do that or whether you choose to just write down your sort of shorter-term, you know, I said I was going to get X chapter written by Y date, pulling them out once a week. If that's too much, for some of you that's way too much, then it might be every other week. For some of you, every other day is probably helpful. And again, that's knowing yourself, okay? So you need to figure that out for yourself. Anything else? So what I would encourage you to do on the way out, we're going to wrap up. If you think it would be helpful to meet with somebody and look over a more fleshed out set of goals, find someone here before you walk out. You should even set up a time. Buy each other a cup of coffee. If you want to come by our office and talk about goals, I have an unbelievably free January. There are many, many other people in the OITE that are happy to sit down and look at your goals with you. Caroline is around, and those of you who know Lori and Betsy and Sean, I think you, Pat, you know, we have a lot of people who are delighted to have visitors. particularly from students and fellows. If you, one of your goals is to really get moving on a career search, Anne and Elaine and the Career Services Center is there. They have appointments as well. Use these different resources, okay? If thinking about this makes you realize that some of your barriers are relationships or lack of support from your mentor, the Office of the Ombudsman, the Office of Intramural Research, your training office is there to help. Find the resources that you need, okay? They really are available. And finally, on Friday at 10:30, you know, I don't get to buy you a cup of hot chocolate very, very often, but we're having an open house for the holidays. It's one thing to get to know you all in workshops. It's another thing to have a chance to say hi and stand and talk. We have books on just about every topic. We're going to be raffling off some books every 30 minutes or so. If there's a big turnout, we'll probably do it more often. Come by, check out books. We're going to have printouts of the handouts of a number of the workshops. I know people often try to get them offline, and that way we have some in the office. Come by. The FELCOM Graduate Student Council first ever joint party is Thursday night. It is the hottest ticket in town. I wouldn't miss it. So don't forget that. And with that, I'll wrap up. And we'll be around for a few more minutes, but don't leave before you set up a chance to meet with somebody if you think that would be helpful. So thank you all. Caroline will email you an evaluation. This is really a work in progress, okay? And it's a hard workshop because I don't think it's not a lecture-based thing, so I would appreciate your input. Please respond when Caroline sends your email. So thank you, everyone. And join my LinkedIn group if you're on LinkedIn. Link to me.
Are you in a friend competition?
I am. I told Pat Sokoloff I have to have more connections.
Feedback. I didn't even consider coming Friday. I had my name.
Yeah, and that's interesting. It feels different.
It was warm and set up.